Our last speaker is Laura Hardwar Morano, and she is an epidemiologist working in both occupational and environmental epidemiology. She received her MPH in biostatistics from Boston University in 2004. She worked as a biostatistician for the Florida Department of Health for 5 years before returning to school. Ms. Hardwar Morano is currently a doctoral student in epidemiology at the University of North Carolina. During her doctoral program, she continues to work with state health departments specifically on projects related to occupational health and climate change. Laura.
Thank you. So this project that I'm going to be talking about came out of the idea that how our state health departments, those of us who are doing just using ED data or hospitalization data, able to capture more work-related cases than are identified by workers' compensation, because we just don't have the resources to do it. We are not able to link and create all these wonderful databases that, say, Michigan or Massachusetts are able to do. So I want to start out by saying, required disclaimer, the North Carolina Disease Event Tracking and Epidemiologic Collection Tool is a public health surveillance system funded by the state and federal funds, and they don't take responsibility or liability for my work. So, it's in the data sharing agreement.
I thought our design
was wrong. So, like I said, the problem is that we're using ED and hospitalization data, these administrative databases that we're pulling work-related injuries and illnesses using workers' compensation. However, as have been reported in other studies, workers' compensation mixes approximately 33% to 47% of work-related injuries and illnesses. And these missed cases are different from worker compensation identified cases by race and ethnicity, by occupation, by injury and illness, so we may be collecting more injury than illnesses, and by the type of medical facility, such as for-profit hospitals have less expected payer equal to workers' compensation. Now, in North Carolina, for our workers' compensation laws, employers with less than 3 employees are exempt. Workers' compensation doesn't cover domestic services or independent contractors. And for agriculture, it doesn't cover those who have less than 10 full-time seasonal employees, or non-seasonal employees, I'm sorry. So the first aim of this project was that I wanted to propose a list of ICD-9-CM codes that may be used to identify work-related ED visits for injury. And these proposed codes that I'm going to show in the next slide came out of work that I've seen previous states have done and that we in Southon have used for our heat-related indicator. Additionally, I wanted to go ahead and look at the accuracy of these codes for the classification of work-relatedness. So I did this in a subsample. And I'm going to say right now, after doing my analysis, accuracy is a strong word, so please take that with a grain of salt. So these are the codes that I used. The first codes are the work status E codes, and these are civilian activity done from income or pay or military activity. These codes were added to the ICD-9-CM codebook in October of 2009, and they can be used for injury or illness diagnosis. The next set of codes that I'm going to look at are other work-related codes. And this first group here are specific types of accidents with codes indicating work-relatedness, so railroad accident among a railway employee. The next set of codes down here are place of occurrence codes, so if it occurred on a farm, on a mine or quarry, or an industrial place or premise. Now, these are just general location codes, and so they have a lot of iffiness to them because people could be doing other things like using a mine or quarry for swimming or skateboarding in it, or whether you're on a farm, it may not actually be farm related. And then the last codes that I have here are V codes, which are used to indicate problems or factors that influence present or future care. So the methods that I used in this, I'm using the North Carolina Detect system. This is our syndromic surveillance system in North Carolina, but it also collects all of our emergency department data. So in addition to having all the ICD-9-CM codes for people who are discharged at the end of their visit, we also have the triage notes and chief complaints notes attached to those records. I looked at data from 2010 to 2013. That way, it had enough time for hospitals to start using the external cause status codes. And I'm looking at unintentional injuries within this analysis. And that excludes poisonings, or doesn't include poisonings, I should say. And for this report, unless I specify otherwise, I restricted it to those who are age 16 or older. Work-relatedness was identified by either expected payer equals workers' compensation or a potential work-related code was present, and those were the ones on the previous slide. So I went ahead and did a descriptive analysis looking at this, and I'll go through that in my results section a little bit more. And then I went ahead and also reviewed the triage notes for identification of work-relatedness. So I identified 131,742 unintentional injuries in North Carolina emergency department visits between 2010 and 2013, work-related, I should say. And let me just preface that. I am going to start out this talk by assuming that all the codes that I used are work-related and just kind of describe those populations. So keep that in mind. I'm assuming that they are good. So workers' compensation identified approximately 69% of all of these cases. An additional 18.3% were identified by the work status e-codes. So this additional percentage individuals did not have an expected payer of workers' compensation. So we would have missed them if we were only using workers' compensation. And then after that, an additional 12.7% of cases were identified by other work-related codes. So this Venn diagram presents an overlap between the three identification methods. So the pink circle is workers' compensation, and then the blue hashed line on circle is work status e-codes, and then the other with a blue outline is going to be my other work-related codes. So as you can see, and I've shown in the previous slide, the majority of cases are identified by workers' compensation. There isn't that much overlap between those. There's only about 5% of cases that were identified by all three methods. And then the overlap between, say, workers' compensation and work status e-codes, about 6% of cases, about 6.8% of cases for other work-related codes and workers' compensation, and then about 7.4% of codes had workers' compensation, had the other work-related codes and a work status e-code. So I want to go ahead and break down these codes. So the summary of records identified in the work status e-code category. So let me orient you to this. These are all row percentages when you're looking at this. The first column here is work status e-codes only, so they were only identified by one method. The second column, they were identified by two methods. They had an other status, an other code, and then a work status e-code. And then the third column is identified by two methods again, workers' compensation and the work status e-code. And then the last one is identified by all three methods. So as you can see from the beginning, or the initial, let's see if this mouse works here, right around here, the majority of codes were identified as civilian work done for income and pay. That was about 38,000 codes. 37% of injuries with a code for civilian work status were identified as work-related by only one identification method. And then 3% of those with military work also had a code for payer equal to workers' compensation, which kind of gives it a little bit of questioning on the use of our workers' compensation and how accurate it is. So again, I'm going to look at the other work-related categories. So notice that there's a change in column headings. The first column is now other codes only, and then the second column is other codes and work status e-codes, and then workers' comp and other codes. So one of the first things that I want to point out is that the majority of codes identified in this identification method were pulled from industrial place or premise. And 60% of those that were pulled from industrial place or premise, right, these three categories here, were had more than one identification method. Next, for railway and water transport, vehicle used on industrial place or premise or place code of farm mine, and the majority of these codes did not have an additional identification method, so they were only identified by the other codes. And then finally, 25% of those having an observation following an accident at work, this is the V code, also had workers' compensation as their payer. So demographics, again, a change in column headings. So the first column here is workers' compensation, and these are people who had expected payer equals workers' compensation. The second column is work status E codes. These are people who did not have workers' compensation, but had an E-status code. And then the final one is excluding the other two categories and had only other codes. So again, row percentage is what we're looking at, but I just wanted to point out that even though the majority of unintentional injuries here were identified by workers' compensation, there's a slightly higher identification for females than for males. And then using the work status E codes, you see slightly higher for males and females. And personally, I'm hypothesizing that this has more to do with the fact of what the jobs that men and women are doing, and potentially whether or not men and who's reporting or using of workers' compensation. There's a slight, very slight difference between time of day. So working between 8 a.m. and 6 p.m., I'm calling that a work day. So a few more workers' compensation than those seen who are working at night. And then for those working during the weekday as opposed to the weekend. That's something to be thinking about as we're looking at what populations we might be capturing or how they're a little bit different from what we're seeing with workers' compensation. This is it stratified by age groups. For work-relatedness, you can see that, again, work-relatedness, like I said, is capturing the majority of the population. However, we might be seeing slightly more of those E-codes being captured, the E-status codes being captured for younger workers, and then the other codes that we're looking at being captured for older workers. So I just want to kind of break down those who are 70 or older with the other codes. Now, these other codes, 80% of those who are 70 or older, what the code that was identified in the record was industrial place or premise. And among those, 60% of them were falls. Additionally, there among those 70 and older, 13% had a code for farm. And among those, 42% were falls. So we're going to go ahead and break this down by cause of injury. 76% of the records that I had, all these unintentional injuries, actually had an E-code that indicated cause of injury. Now, one of the things that I want you to keep in mind when you're looking at this table is that prior papers have used place of injury codes, farm, industrial, or mine and quarry, in combination with these cause of injury codes for identifying work-relatedness. So just think about that as you're looking at this work status E-code column. Now, this here, I just wrote the E-code because it's really long. It's explosions, firearms, hot substances, corrosive, caustic, steam, electric, current, and radiation is that group right there. The way I have that this all ordered is by, the rows are ordered by workers' compensation and descending. So at the top here, you can, for workers' compensation, for motor vehicle traffic and non-traffic and others, in Florida's data, 92% of those causes of injuries are being identified by our workers' compensation or picked up by workers' compensation. When we look at some of the other ones, like falls, we're only capturing about 69%. And we look at the next category here. We have overexertion and strenuous and repetitive motions are capturing about 47% of our cases. But you can see that the work status E code over here is capturing 33% of those. So it may be useful to, when we're looking at some of those exertion injuries, to be including that work status E code. Now, this chart is activity by work-related category. This I want you to really take with a grain of salt. Only 12% of records had an E-code for activity in addition to all the other E-codes that I presented. But I thought some of it was interesting, and so I'm just giving you a summary of some of the ones that I found in, found fascinating. So these groups, looking at the activity codes, I would categorize them as some of those people that we wouldn't be seeing in our workers' compensation, that are not going to be covered by workers' compensation, such as personal hygiene and household maintenance, or individuals, individual people providing care, providing home care, like home care nurses. And here, property and land and maintenance, building construction, 31 or 32% of those are being covered by workers' compensation, while if we look at the work status E-codes, almost 54% are being identified by the work status E-codes instead. So this might be a way to be looking at our population that isn't covered by workers' compensation. So the confirmation sub-study that I did, I took a simple random sample of about 100 records from each category. Now, I had the three categories, and then I had four overlaps for those categories. So I wanted to look at each of those and see if they were confirmed work-related. Now, as you remember, the other category, the other codes that included industrial place or premise was majority industrial place or premise. So out of those hundreds, that 100 records, I didn't want to just look at industrial place or premise, so I pulled an additional 100 records that looked only at that E-code group without industrial place or premise. And for this study, subsample, I did not restrict it to restrict it by age, so this is all age ranges. And I went ahead and read the triage notes, which are in our data. Now, the triage notes are from the nursing notes, and the coders who assign the ICD-9 CM codes are not allowed to see these notes. They're only allowed to look at the doctor's notes. However, we, as the researcher or the public health official, are not allowed to look at the doctor's notes unless we go and talk to the hospitals and make a sharing agreement and go and look at the medical records. And so, only about 24% at the moment of North Carolina EDs are reporting triage notes. So that's the sample that I looked at. And I went ahead and classified those triage notes as confirmed, probable, and possible. And then after reviewing all those 800 records, I created a list of keywords that I went back and applied to the entire population of unintentional work-related injuries. So here's how I went ahead and categorized work-relatedness. So confirmed were the obvious, at work, works at his or her job. I used an equipment that appeared to be more likely to be work-related and wouldn't necessarily be seen at home. Type of worker, so construction worker, policeman, fireman. And an activity that I decided was work-related, such as paving asphalt. Probable was fall or fell, so fell off of ladder, fell off a scaffold, fell off of combine, etc. Caught in conveyor belt, truck lift, crimping machine, or using equipment that I wasn't quite as sure whether it was work-related or not. So a meat or deli slicer, for example. Working on a tree or a large tire. Injury by the type of activity, so injured by a hog. North Carolina has a lot of hog farms. And then the activity that they were doing construction. And then the possible was cut part of body on something. So cut finger on steel or piece of metal, cut leg hand on table saw or auger. Things like falling out of your office chair. That actually there was a couple of those. Using equipment that seemed just as likely to be used at home, a backpack leaf blower, being on a tugboat, or having chemicals splashed. So this is a result. I'm only going to show, I'm not going to show the possible. I have confirmed and probable here. But unfortunately, 44% of my sampled 800 records were not able to be classified as work-related or not work-related. The information that was present in the triage notes described the injury and didn't describe when or how the injury occurred. I was able to identify, for those records available, 37% were identified as confirmed work-related. The majority, you had a lot, obviously a stronger proportion of them identified as work-related if they had multiple identification methods. The E-code status had a lot of probable, so we can see 16 here and 10 here of probably identified. And then the other codes that I said I was a lot more iffy about, you can see that 22 of those were identified as not work-related. So out of the 200, 22 were identified as not work-related. Now, if I went ahead and restricted those to those who are under age 16, 9 of those 22 cases were under the age of 16. So potentially using these codes either in combination with cause of injury or restricting them to age greater or equal to 16 may provide some use for them. So like I said, I went back and I had my original total records of almost 132,000. And then of those, 30,871 had a triage note in that entire unintentional work-related set. And I went ahead and applied the work-related keywords that I identified. And these words were at work, works at, workman complaint, worker complaint, at work, and variations on at work, such as at tilde work, at job, at her job, at her work, at his job, and at his work. And these were the ones that were identified in the North Carolina system. So overall, on ADRET, out of the 30,872 records that had a triage note, 24% of them were had confirmation of work-relatedness. The majority of them, again, if you have multiple work-related identification methods, you have a larger proportion of them that are identified with a triage note, which is work-related. But I do want to also point out that the majority of cases over here that we have, like I said, were workers' compensation only. These were only identified by work. I mean, they only had one method, which is workers' compensation, and only 21% of those actually had something in the triage note indicating work-relatedness. And I'm not sure if that has to do with how the hospitals apply workers' compensation and then decide whether or not they don't need to add anything about the situation into the notes. Just a thought. All right, so my conclusions. I think there's a greater overall ascertainment by using these methods. There's definitely lower specificity, but there is a gain in sensitivity. So right now, we're only seeing the small proportion of work-related cases, and this is what we're presenting. We know that we're underreporting it, but by looking at this, we can see that even though, yes, we are underreporting it, but we're also not picking up a whole bunch of different types of, the demographics are different, and that's important for us to take a look at. The limitations, there really is no gold standard. The triage notes, when I went to the project, I was hoping the triage notes were good, but they're not. And I was unable to identify true or false negatives in a large proportion of undetermined in the triage notes. Okay, thank you. Okay.
Were you surprised that there was such poor e-coding for work-relatedness on the workers' compensation cases?
You mean the use of using expected payer and workers' compensation? Expected payers, workers' compensation, plus the e-code?
I guess it's the fact that those that were marked as expected payer workers' compensation did not have an e-code that corresponded to it as work-related.
Yes, I was surprised at that.
I mean, because when I saw that, I was very, very shocked at 26%.
Right, I really thought there should be more overlap between the e-code, the status code, and workers' compensation. But Yes, Jean.
So I just in kind of an answer to you, I was actually surprised at how good it was compared to data sources that I've looked at.
Okay.
Some of those codes where she saw relatively large numbers, I saw almost no cases of those codes being used in several states. So I think there's a lot of interstate variability on this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And people just have to look really carefully at their own data sources before they figure out what to do.
I agree with that. And in North Carolina, for our emergency department data, there are we have 5 E-code fields. And let's see here. 30% used 1 field, 34% used 2 fields, 22% used 3 fields of all the records that I looked at. So there was a lot of E-code usage. But it varied by hospital quite a bit.
So how will the applicability of this affect when we go to ICD-10 in the fall?
Well, so here's the thing. John was talking about this earlier today. These codes are present in ICD-10. Whether they're used is a whole other thing. So we need to advocate the usage of these codes.
And by these codes, you mean like the work at work?
I really mean the work status CE codes.
Yeah,
so, yeah.
In the new ICD-10 CM, there are separate E-codes for status. There's a separate E-code for location and a separate E-code for activity. Now, in the old ICD-9, the status code and the activity code didn't exist. They were codes that were added late in the game back in
2009.
Yeah, 2009 to try and get people to think about it because they were pushing for them to be in ICD-10.
Right. So while I like the other codes, I would much rather see the external status codes used. So in ICD-10, I believe they're Y99-0 and Y99-1.
Is chief complaint part of the triage notes that you reviewed?
Yes, chief complaint is part of them. However, I didn't find any useful work-relatedness identified. It was mostly sprain, concussion, just the word about the injury. It didn't have
no hope for a work-related syndrome.
So, yeah, Kathy?
You had the one slide that looked at by time of day and by day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wondered if part of that reflects that, yes, that one, if that reflects that people working on day jobs are more likely to have workers' comp.
That's what I was thinking.
As opposed to secondary jobs? Or
I was thinking that, yeah, that they may be more likely to have workers' compensation if they're on day jobs or working during the weekday. Mm-hmm. Michelle?
Did you look at resident status kind of along that same line of the difference in the, you know, less likely to have workers' comp and more likely mm-hmm.
No, I did not. I did not look at worker status in this one. Not worker status, whether it was residential or non-residential. I'm trying to remember if I reduced this to only residents, and I may have. I'll have to go back and look. Tish?
Did you look at race and ethnicity?
There isn't race and ethnicity in this data set. I would have.
This one other question. In your triage notes, what we found in, we don't have triage notes, but white chief complaint, we found, we used searched on the word work, and there are a lot of people going for work notes, you know, so that they can get back to their, they have a legitimate excuse.
Mm-hmm.
Did you find that at all? Because we couldn't believe people were going to emergency rooms to get work notes.
I didn't see any of those, but I only read 800. records. But I didn't see that.
I really enjoyed your presentation. I have more of a comment than a question. I work with the National ED Surveillance, and in terms of payer, what we found is that it's not as, obviously, as I'm sure you know, that it's not as reliable as we'd hoped. So what's happened with Nice Work is we selected expected payer in that, and in the follow-back studies, which are self-reported by the workers themselves, we also collected expected payer. And when we looked at the two together, Surprisingly, at 60 to 70%, both of them were workers' comp, which matches your data, but it wasn't the same 60 to 70%. just a word of caution.
Yeah. Also with workers' compensation that I found going through this is that that's also not uniformly reported across hospitals. And there are some hospitals in North Carolina that aren't reporting using workers' compensation at all, and they're not even reporting expected payer. And then there was one hospital that is reporting almost 20% of their ED visits as workers' compensation, and it's just way over. They're just filling in for no reason, I guess. I don't know.
Well, I will say we did work hospital visits too, some of the hospitals in our sample, and there was one in particular that I remember going to, and if anyone looked like they were remotely work-related, they got the workers' comp forms and were marked as workers' comp.
So I do think it's sort of interesting. North Carolina, you know, has a fair amount of exemptions to mandatory workers' comp coverage. Right?
Yes, they do.
By size and employer, certain specific occupation, and then, you know, you have self-employed out there. So, I mean, I see a lot of this as being really valuable for that whole exempted population that probably is a significant component of every state's workforce. And so, you know, it's great that you do it.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely think, and especially as workers' compensation becomes, as they're trying to reduce the use of workers' compensation, I think, across the states, it's really helpful to find, to identify those uncovered populations.
Well, and also from a public health perspective, the self-employed is an issue too.
Right.
You know, it's not covered by, they are on CFOI.
Does anybody know if there's any plans? There was that CDC document about the push to improve surveillance by improving coding of hospital and ED data. You know if they're looking to update that possibly?
Not that I'm aware of. I know the Injury Center has pushed and tried to get the emergency departments to begin looking at the ICD-10 CM to get them to be more, they're pushing activity. We're pushing status and activity and location. We want all of that in there from the work-related side. But the injury group, they don't have a problem if the other ones are included as long as they get the activity, because for them that activity code is much more meaningful than it possibly is for us. But, you know. Anything else? Yes?
Yep. I have a quick question. Is there any data sets to link this to confirm, like, is there valuable information, EMS data that you could link to this, and in the EMS data there's case notes that could say injury credit work?
I mean, that's a possibility. That I'm not officially with the North Carolina Department of Health. I kind of just wiggle my way in with different people. I'm like, can I work with you till I can get access to this? No. That's something that you're gonna that Greg will have to look into.
Yeah, and I can tell you that a lot of states that collect the RUNS data do not mark work related. So it would be using the same kind of logic as what you're using here, literal searches and that type of thing.
Carla?
Okay.
I would just encourage you to try to present this to your hospital registrars.
I think we're going to try to do that eventually. Scott Proshfall, who's on here as well, works with that group, and after I write this up, I'm hoping that he'll do that.
Yeah, just I think they like to see what the data are used for. I did it a long time ago. They have like annual meetings.
Last question.
So one of the things we do is do like a quality check before we use our expected payer each year, because some hospitals will have none. Some hospitals will have, you know, pregnancies, all expected. You know. So we actually, before we kind of clean the data and we have some quality checks too. I mean, we found some hospitals use the expected payer variable for some other purpose. You know, it does reveal the systematic errors.
Yes. Yeah, I agree.
Well, thank you. Thank you to our speakers.